Another one they need in their songbook down there. These songs that I just can see some of those folks grabbing that truth with their fingertips, literally. I read it in the burial book. At least we've got them in that Amazing Grace verse. They do well with that. I had a couple of sighted people that were there for the first time. I think there were 13 people there for the first time. And they asked me to write the words to that Amazing Grace verse. So the gospel gets spread in many ways, and we know who's in charge of it all in that matter. Well, I want to say thanks again to the fellows that have been helping out to relieve me from concerns. It was nice to go to camp and just to be able to focus on everything it is to focus on without having to think about what I'm going to be speaking on. I do that. I do it ahead of time. And I just let it slide out of my mind and just work on my messages there and to share. Trust the Holy Spirit will lead in some of those areas. Steve Adams did a good job, and we had a good time in the next couple of weeks. Those will all be up on the Bartimaeus Alliance for the Blind website. So some of you can share a little bit. I wish we had a better way to record some of the music on it. I have, in fact, that happens to be on this recorder right here. I have the where did I pick it up? Probably from the beginning of the last service on Friday night. Just let it run, and the problem is I have to keep away from it, and because I make too much noise. But anyway, I just would love to have you sitting there, all of you. Mm-hmm. I've told you before, I'd love to see some of them sitting up here. We got to meet Dan, Shelley at the forum, and there are others there that you'd have a good time. I think it'd be fun for y'all to meet Larry. Wouldn't it be interesting, Richard, to have Larry pop in here for a Sunday? Yeah. You know? It's interesting because, we'll go no further. But I appreciate the help with Don and with Courtney of giving me some relief. We will be back and tie up that one element in the empowerment next Sunday in the morning service. We'll be in Colossians 1. And tie that section out, and then we'll clip on to something else. I'm thinking we'll do one message between here and there that won't be related to the passives, because I'd like to kick off the fall with a message that I trust will be an encouragement to all of us to keep on keeping on. And my big concern, God has been doing good things in our midst, and I don't like to wait for Satan to crawl in here and have some victory. If you're spiritual, he's not going to be able to. And so that's my concern. So Courtney is willing to come. No, he arm wrestled me to make sure he'd be here. I'm Matt. And I wanted to sing God Hath Not Promised just because I knew he liked that song, but because I knew that you all probably could use the word of encouragement. It's not all smooth all the time. So, Courtney, come and open the book and go to work.
My pleasure to be able to fill in for Pastor Dave. And we all know what hard work he does and how much time and effort that he puts into it. And so any time that I can help them out, it's wonderful to be able to do so. And so we're thankful for that. I was also thankful to be able to see Kevin and Kathy here this morning as we drove up. We get to recognizing some of these vehicles. And so we saw Kevin and Kathy's vehicle, and we saw Richard's vehicle also. And so we're glad to see you guys back, and that you were able to spend time in your various places and make it back. And so grateful to be here and grateful to be able to preach God's Word. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about somewhat of a controversial subject, politics. Not for you, Brother Don. So don't take any offense to it. But we will be talking about politics. And so we won't be talking about Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or any of those stations, but we are going to be talking about where our politics are and where they should be and where our minds and our focus should be as believers. And so in today's times, we have social media, computers, technology has really become a fabric all throughout our society. And everyone has access to different forms of technology that spread information around. And so it used to be politics was kind of a limited thing. I remember when I was younger, I didn't care too much about politics. I was worried more about sports and what team was doing what. But now you have these different mediums that are advancing political issues. And so more people are becoming involved in politics, I think, than ever before. And it's an interesting thing, and that's the world system. But where the problem comes in is when believers start becoming entangled in these things. And so we can see now that different believers might be on different sides of political issues. One believer might think this is right, and one believer might think that this is right politically. But what's the more important thing? Is it important? What was that, Kevin?
What God thinks.
That's right. Absolutely. Is it important for us to look at our differences politically, or is it important for us to realize what we have in common spiritually? And we might not see it here. Is there many people that are of the same political persuasion? But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of believers around the country that are on different sides of political issues, and that doesn't make them any less believers in what we are. And so it's important that we keep that in mind. And so in our society, you again see the merging of politics in the pop culture. And so you see all of these issues that come up, different things that happen, different people get killed, and media wants to politicize these issues, and it becomes a political issue rather than a pop culture issue or whatever it was before. And so then people are taking sides. Which side is right? Is this side right, or is this side right? Well, it's healthy for you to have your opinion on different matters, but when this starts to distract believers from seeing themselves in the common way that we should, this is a problem. And so we don't want to be there, and we don't want to see each other like that. And so politics, I looked up in Wikipedia, and I'll just give you this quick definition that they have. It's the practice and theory of influencing other people on a civic or individual level. More narrowly, it refers to achieving and exercising position of governance, organized control over human community, or particularly a state. A variety of methods is employed in politics, which include promoting its own political views among people, negotiation with other political subjects, making laws and exercising force, including warfare against adversaries. Politics is exercised on a wide range of social levels, from clans and tribes of traditional societies through modern local governments, companies, and institutions up to sovereign states and to an international level. A political system is a framework which defines acceptable politics methods within a political methods within a given society. History of political thought can be traced back to antiquity with seminal works such as Plato's Republic, Aristotle's Politics, and Opus of Confucius. Modern political discourse focuses on democracy and the relationships between people and politics. It is the thought of as the way we choose government officials and make decisions in a public policy, or excuse me, about public policy. And so, that's politics in a nutshell from where Wikipedia looks at it. Now, our politics, as it says in Philippians 3:20, are in heaven. And more specifically, the results of our political affiliation, if you look at that word politēs, and it has a ma ending there in Philippians 3:20, and I know that won't mean much to people that don't study Greek, but in any word that has a ma ending, you're looking at the results of something. And so the result of our political affiliation is what's at sight there. And so our political affiliation is in heaven. We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're from heaven. We belong to Christ. And so we'll look at that further. And we want to look at where believers end up on the side of those issues. And so a quick definition for this word politēma is the business of government, and this is from Liddell and Scott. An act of administration is the definition that he gives for it. And also, politēma is also described as a place or location in which one has the right to be a citizen, a state, commonwealth, place of citizenship. And so you see how easily that can be conferred there in 3:20 to heaven, is where we originate from and where our political affections are. So I wouldn't say citizenship, but I would say our affections, our political affections. And so the affiliation of the grace believer is what's in sight there. So let's turn over to Philippians, the third chapter, and we'll pick it up at verse 17. Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 17. And so we read the context earlier, but I'll highlight it here. In that Paul, as you can see, throughout different parts of this book, is having to dispute somewhat with these Judaizers who are coming in and telling the believers in Philippi that they need to be living a kind of Jewish lifestyle for their present tense salvation. And he's telling them that you need to follow my example. I've given you the example of how to live as believers. Actually, let's flip back to verse 1 really quickly, and we'll get some context here. And so we'll pick it up in verse 3. As he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, always making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I still hear some pages turning, so I'm going to slow down and let everyone catch up. And we're in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Philippians. Being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you, or the one having begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so, let's stop here and look at something. A person might be on different sides of political or spiritual issues, but I've seen many people who don't see things the proper way concerning Scripture. But one thing we can be confident of is that Christ is going to get them to where they need to be spiritually. And so Paul emphasizes that there. And let's continue on. Verse 7. Even as it is meet or right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. And so we see here that Paul is in prison, and we're going to see it again in a few verses later. Verse 8, for God is my record of how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge, in all knowledge, and in more full experiential knowledge, and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all other places. And so you see here clearly, Paul is in prison. And so just imagine Paul being in prison, and these people being around Philippi, these Judaizers, having the opportunity to go and influence the believers that Paul has had an effect over. And they're telling them that this is the way that you should live. You should be following Judaism. You should be circumcised. You should follow the law. And so this is the influence that Paul is having to combat with. And so when we flip back over to chapter 3, Paul is telling them to beware of these kind of people. These are the kind of people that are going to lead you down the wrong path. And so Paul says, if anyone had the ability or the right to claim Judaism and what could be done under Judaism, he would be the one. But he's not counting those things as anything. He's counting what he has in Christ to be his presence and salvation. And so as we move forward to verse 17 or verse 16, it says that, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which are which walk, so as you have us for an example or a type. And so Paul uses this word for mimetos, and I'm sure you guys have heard other people mention this word before, but it's just simply to mimic or to mimic one's behavior. I'm sure when Gabriel and Caleb were young, Caleb might have mimicked Gabriel's behavior, and it might have upset Gabriel. We don't know. I know my brothers with me, my little brother was always trying to mimic everything that I did, and it upset me quite often. But in this way, we should not be. They should be mimicking the behavior of Paul as much as it matches up with the example of how to live in Christ. And so that's what Paul is saying here. But we have some other verses if you want to. We don't have a lot of time. I'll give you a couple of verses if you want to look at that word in other places. 1 Corinthians 4:16. 11:1. Ephesians 5:1. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. And Hebrews 6:12. And so you'll see that word used often. Paul likes to use it. It's just to follow one's behavior, to mimic one's behavior. And so Paul says that you follow his behavior as much as it matches up to that type. And so we pick up in verse 18, for many walk, and this word for walk is peripatao, it is just order your manner of life, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross work of Christ. And so with the context of what we've been given, you see that these people who are saying that you ought to live under law for your present tense salvation are enemies of the cross work of Christ. They're putting at naught what Christ did, because that's the pattern of how we should be living our present tense salvation. And so you see that there. They're enemies of the cross work of Christ, whose end is destruction. And this word for destruction we see again in Philippians 1:28. So let's go back there to Philippians 1:28. We saw it previously. Philippians 1:28. and pick it up in verse 27 of Philippians 1. Only let your conversation, and this is again, this will be your conduct. Let your conduct be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation and that of God. And so that word for perdition there is the word that we're looking at for destruction. It's apoleos. And so you see it there. But we flip back over to Philippians, the third chapter. And so these that are walking this way, the end of them is destruction. And if you follow that word through, it's always used with relationship to unbelievers, and the end of them being that, just that destruction. And so they're going to end up being destroyed. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. And so these people boast in things that they should be ashamed of. Who mind earthly things. And so they're reflective thinking, this is in Philippians 3:19. Their reflective thinking is continually on earthly things. And so this is opposite to where believers' reflective thinking should be, which is on heavenly things. So we want to look at that word for earthly a few times in Scripture. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 2, and you'll see it there. I'll try to get some that are close so we can keep it moving along. But this is just to get an idea of this word for earthly, or pertaining to earth. And that's Philippians 2:10. And it says that in the name and character of belonging to Jesus, every knee... And let's go back. This is a good context. Let's pick it up in verse 4. Yes, verse 4. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And so, if we're having the mind that Christ had, are we really going to be looking at our political associations as being more important than the body of Christ? This is an opposing thing here. We should have the mind, if we're having the mind of Christ, there's not going to be any discord within the body of Christ if everyone is having that mind. And so he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even a cross kind of death, or the death of the cross in your English. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and graciously given him a name which is above every name, that in the character or the name of belonging to Jesus, every knee shall bow, and of the things in heaven and of things in earth and things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so you see there in verse 10, the things that are upon earth is our word that we're following for earthly things. And so we can also look really quickly, let's see, to Ephesians, the second chapter, in the 19th verse, and we'll see that word again. Ephesians 2:19. And let's pick it up in verse 12. It says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, And so it's interesting because later we're going to look at a few verses that tell us to be strangers and aliens, those kind of words pertaining to the world system. But here you're seeing that we were strangers and aliens with reference to the commonwealth of Israel and the place of blessing of God. And so that's an interesting contrast you'll see. And strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments, containing ordinances to make him in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God, and that's Jew and Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And I think I got my verses mixed up here. I skipped forward, I'm sorry. That's for the next point, but it goes to our point also. This word for fellow citizens is to speak that now we are fellow citizens in heaven of anyone, Jew or Gentile or otherwise. And so that wasn't our word for earthly at all. It wasn't in that verse. And we need to keep moving. But if you wanted to look for some other occurrences of that word, we have it in John 3:12, 1 Corinthians 15:40 is a really good one, 2 Corinthians 5:1, and also James, the third chapter, in the 15th verse. So that word for earthly has the idea, as we saw, pertaining to the earth and having to do with the earth. And so we'll flip back over to Philippians, the third chapter, in the 20th verse, and continue on with Paul. And so he says, and this is my translation of the verse, for our citizenship are the results of our politics, our political affections continually exist in heavens, out from which also we wait to welcome a Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we could go through and look at the different occurrences for the word heavenly, and there are several of those, but we won't due to time constraints. But let's look at this word for waiting to welcome in verse 20. Our next verse for that would be in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in the 1st verse. You'll see an occurrence of this word for heavenly. Sometimes also translated celestial in your English. And this is a good place we'll see earthly also. We'll pick it up at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in the 1st verse. For we know if our earthly house, our upon earth house, and this word is epigeos, which is a Greek compound meaning, again, earthly. So if the earthly house of this tabernacle, or this tent, were dissolved, we have a building out from God, and house not made by hands, or handmade, eternal in the heavenlies. And so there's our word for heavens, or heavenly, is oranois, there in first, at the end of verse 1. And so you see, it's a heavenly body, or pertaining to heaven. Let's look in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, in the 10th verse, we'll see it also. Ephesians And so verse 3, it says, blessed is the God, and here's the thing we were struggling with in the hymnals, blessed be here in our King James Version. What is blessed is? This is in the indicative mood. Blessed is the God, even Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption, or the son placement, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things by Christ, both which are in heaven and which are upon earth. And so there you see the earthly and the heavenly again in the same context. But again, you're looking there, at view there is the things that are in heaven, those believers that are in heaven and the ones that are on earth. He's going to gather them all together into one at the rapture, or at the end of the dispensation of the fullness of times. And we won't look to any others. There are plenty of citations of words that have this word for heavenly in it. And so we would be here quite a while longer if we did. So let's keep moving along. So for our citizenship, back in Philippians, the third chapter in the 20th verse, I have the benefit of having all my verses written out up here. You guys don't have to keep forgetting. So we'll wait for everyone to get back to 320, and we'll roll on. For our citizenship continually exists in the heavens, out from which we also wait to welcome a Savior. And so I want to get to this word for waiting to welcome, too. I think I told you guys that that's where I was going last time, and I didn't get there. Okay, let's look to Romans, the 8th chapter. And this word occurs 3 times there, so we'll just stick with this context. Romans, the 8th chapter in the 19th verse. And oftentimes, especially here, this word is accompanied by hope, the word for hope. And so that's going to become very important when you think of, we have a hope that we're waiting on, and the biblical hope is based on an expectation or a promise from God. And so we have an expectation because God made us a promise that we're going to have these things in the future. And so we'll pick it up at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not only to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, or you are fixing to die, as they say in the South. But if you by the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And so I want to quickly look at this too, is deeds of the body. Does this sound like politics or our political associations, or are things that are important to us that have nothing to do with what we have in Christ? That could be, I don't know, it's just me, that could be considered some things that aren't that are more fleshly than heavenly. And so let's keep that in consideration. Pick it up in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For you have not received a quality of spirit of bondage or slavery, again to fear, but you have received a quality of spirit of son placement, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And this is dealing with our familial relationship that is in heaven. This is way more important than anything we have on earth. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bearing witness, or it intimately testifies together with our spirit, that we are born ones out from God or belonging to God. And since children,
than heirs. Heirs of, on the one hand with God, or of God, and joint heirs with Christ, together with Christ. Since it so be, or since it is, that we suffer with him, in order that we might also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, or because of us. And so in verse 19, we're going to see this wait to welcome word. For the earnest expectation, and there's our word, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this word for creature should probably be better translated creations. And so it waits to welcome the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For we know the whole creation, or all creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. And so here's how it relates to us. That have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. And there's our word. Waiting to welcome for the sun placement, or the actuation of the sun placement. So with the redemption of our body. For we are saved in hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But since we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait to welcome it. And so you see that word three times used there in that context of waiting to welcome our future tense salvation and the glory that shall be revealed because of us. And that's what we're hoping for when Christ returns. And that's what's in view when you have your mind placed on heavenly things rather than the things of this earth. We know that Christ is going to come back at the rapture, and we're going to be changed to be just like him. And so those realities are there now, and they're a reality now, and we can count them as true now, and this is how we should be living. These are the things that matter more than our political affiliations, but those things will be reality when he comes back. And so you see that there in Romans 8. Let's look to... Now, I think we've got that one good enough, so we'll let it ride. Trying to keep it moving so we can wrap up on time. Let's look back to verse 21, back to Philippians, the third chapter, and the 21st verse. And so he says in the 21st verse, and this is my translation, who will change the outward appearance of our bodies pertaining to humiliation, excuse me, that vile bodies is better translated as bodies of limitation or humiliation, to come to be formed together to his body, it pertains to glory. Down from the energy empowering him to put all things in subjection to himself. And so that's the continuance of what was said in verse 20. That we're going to be changed to be just like him. And that's a happy hope to look forward to. And there are terms describing the believer's relationship and what the believer's relationship should be to the world. We have a par oikos, or oikos, and you would see that in Luke, the 28th chapter. We have it in Acts again, the 7th chapter. But let's look at Ephesians 2:19, and we were there earlier, but we want to see that. Actually, I think that's not the right
skipped something more right where.
Let's go to Hebrews, excuse me, 1 Peter, the first chapter in the 17th verse. First Peter, the first chapter in the 17th verse. And we have two examples of this word in this kind in this book, so we can just look at those two. And so in verse 15, Peter says, one more second. All right. Peter says in verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." Sound familiar? "When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And so Peter, of course, was one of those apostles that were available when the Lord revealed himself in his human nature. We're in 2 Peter. I'm saying one thing and I'm reading another.
I'm sorry. I thought
that
was a
reading
like that.
That is all me. I said I was reading the right thing, but I wasn't saying the right thing.
Thank you for that.
I saw all these puzzled looks out there. Didn't know what was going on. Okay. 2 Peter, the first chapter in the 15th verse.
Okay.
You're welcome. "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, in after my decease, to have all these things, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from his excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the mount." And so, overshot. I missed my word there somehow. I might have been 1 Peter.
Doesn't read the same for you.
No. Let's check out. Oh, you know what? It was 1 Peter. That's right, the first thing. I was reading the right thing. Oh, brother. Pastor Dave, I thought you were the one that just went on vacation.
You went with him.
Yeah.
In
mind.
Well,
2
Peter 1:17 works with Dale's teaching this morning.
There you go. I was helping you out there. Okay, let's pick it up in verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." That sounds better. "Be sober and hope to the end of for the grace that is to be brought up unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Sounds like a familiar theme. "As obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lusts in ignorance." And so we can look at these former lusts and they could be associated with our lust for political ambitions and our lust for things of the world system. Just staying in line with the subject. I don't want to hammer anybody over the head. But in verse 15, "But as he hath called you," or "that he that hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And that's a word there for manner of conversation. It could be better translated conduct. But verse 16, "Because it is written," or it stands written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And verse 17, And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And so there's our word paroikos, is to be a sojourner or a traveler, a stranger. And you'll see that word constantly used throughout the New Testament, but there's different words that translate the same translation. And so this one more has the idea of being alongside of home. That word oikos, if you've seen the oikos Greek yogurt, it means home. And it has the para preposition there at the beginning, which means alongside of. And so you're supposed to be living this life in a way that you're alongside of home. This is not it, ladies and gentlemen. This is not our home.
Yay!
And thank you, hallelujah, for that. Yeah. I wouldn't want this to be our home. And so you see that there. And you also see it in 1 Peter, the second chapter. No, wait a minute.
let me
make sure. Yes, that's right. The second chapter in the 11th verse.
Okay. No, 1 Peter.
And so, I believe it was Don last week that talked about in the Old Testament how God asked Israel to be a royal priesthood. He gave that offer to them. And they said, all that you have said, we will do. They would rather do something than have graciously given to them what God had designed to give them, or had wanted to give them. And they turned it down. And so now, we are a royal priesthood. We are a kingdom of priests. And so you'll see that in this context. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And so this is, of course, speaking of the Lord. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. I can't get it out. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, even to them, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. And so you're seeing that they didn't believe, not because that's what they wanted. They weren't elect. That's why they didn't believe. And so that's what I think it means to when he says they were appointed. Verse 9. But you also are a chosen generation, a kingly, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a set apart nation, a uniquely possessed people, or a people for a unique possession, that you should, or you might be, or show forth the praises of him who hath called you out from darkness into his marvelous light. So, if we're being seen by our political affiliations, how can we represent the marvelous light that we've been called for? I don't see any way. People can look at you and say, hey, look at that guy, the politician. He knows all about politics. But is that what we want to be known for? I don't know about anyone else. I don't think anybody else wants to either. Let's skip forward. Which in times past were not a people. And we saw that in Ephesians. We were not a people. But are now the people belonging to God, which have not obtained, or which have not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, and there's our word, being alongside of home. And here's another one, aliens. And this is alongside of and upon demos. And I forgot to write down my definition for this word. But it's again, has that alongside of idea of being at home. So, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And so, I believe the idea of politics and that thing has more to do with a person's being affected by the world system. And this is a world system being used as an enemy. But even still, it can open the door to other things. And so we have to be very careful as believers to keep our minds framed where they're supposed to be. And so you see that there. And again, the word for strangers is used there in verse 11. And actually, let's read a little bit forward, because there's some nice stuff here in verse 12 also. Having your conversation or your conduct honest, and this is good appearing, having a conversation that has a good outward appearance among the Gentiles, that whereby they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which shall, they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so, when we're living in our position in Christ, and we're living as ones who are of heaven and not of earth, people are going to see something within us, and they might even ask you. And that's why Peter says, set aside Jesus as Lord in your heart, and always be willing to give an answer to those who ask for the hope that lies within you. And so it has to do with your manner of life. And I don't ever want to be remembered. There was a time when I was so caught up in politics myself, as opposed to when I was a child. But as I became older, I did become very interested in politics. And my political affection sometimes superseded where I was in Christ. And people started to know Courtney, the politician, the knowledgeable one about politics. That's not what I want to be remembered for. And it really came to a head at a certain point when God got a hold of me and slapped me around. And he said, this is where you need to be. This is what you need to be doing. I don't want you to be remembered for what you know about politics. And so that's a very important thing. So, there are a few, we better just wrap it up here. There are a few verses that are very pertinent to the believer and the world system and his relationship to the world system. I just use these as reminders to anyone who might be struggling with this issue. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and the 31st verse. And while you're turning, I'll get this one in real quick. Just to frame it, when I was a young boy, about the age of 7 or 8, we moved here to Oregon from Oklahoma, the only home I'd ever known. And I was not too excited about moving across the country to the West Coast to a place that I knew nothing about. And yet, I had to do it. I was 7 years old. Are you going to live on your own? Couldn't do it. So I followed my parents here to Oregon. And over time, I started to meet a lot of people here. And some of you that are in this very room watched me grow up and from a 7-year-old to a 14-year-old. And it was a good time. But I never lost my love for my home state of Oklahoma. It was always in the back of my mind that I love the state of Oklahoma. That's where I'm from. And in a similar way, not exactly the same, this is where our minds should be as believers. We're here in America, one of the greatest countries in the world. We have opportunities as believers that over time I don't think any believers have ever had. And yet, our home is heaven. And that should always be our focus of where our minds should be. And so we'll pick it up in verse, 29. The time is short, and it remaineth, that both they that have wives be as though they had none. This is verse 29 of chapter 7. And so that doesn't mean that I'm going to take off on you, honey. Verse 30. The ones that weep as though they wept not. The ones rejoicing as though they rejoice not. And the ones that buy as though they possess not. And so this is looking at your attitude as it relates to the world system. There are plenty of things that relate to the world system that we have to be involved with. And yet this should be your attitude to them. And they that use the world as not abusing it or using it to the full. For the outward appearance of this world is passing away, or it's being ushered off the scene. This thing is coming to an end, ladies and gentlemen. It is ever in a state of coming to an end. And we're in it, but we're not of it. We are of heaven. And so this should be the mind of believers. Let's turn also to 1 John. These are verses I'm sure people read all the time, or have read all the time. If you sat under the teaching in this church very often, you know these verses. But it never hurts to read them again. That's 1 John, the second chapter. And let's pick it up in verse 11. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 10. All right, one more time. Let's pick it up in verse 8. We'll get it right there.
Verse 8.
1 John 2:8. I'm all over the place this morning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hates his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion for stumbling in him. Verse 11. But he that hates his brother is in the darkness, and is walking in darkness, and is knowing not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from a quality of a beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, young men, or little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from a quality of a beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Stop loving the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, if perchance any man, loves the world or is loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not out from the Father, but is of the world, or out from the world as the source. And the world is passing away. We saw that in the last verse we looked at. And the lust thereof. But he that is doing the will of God abides into the age, or unto the ages. And so, you see it there. We cannot love the world system and at the same time love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when our political affections or affiliations become to where they're so important to us that they supersede how you feel about another believer, Houston, we have a problem. I'm going to close you with this quote. And this is a quote from my... Don't judge me as they say. This is from Jean-Luc Picard of Star Trek, The Next Generation. And this is I knew you guys were going to laugh at that. This is the prime directive. This is what was given to each captain of any Enterprise vessel. And this is interesting. Listen to it. A prime directive is not just a set of rules. It is a philosophy, a very correct one. History has proven again and again that whenever mankind interferes with less developed civilizations, no matter how well-intentioned that interference may be, the results are invariably disastrous. If you decide that your political affiliations are more important to you than who you are in Christ, I guarantee you the results will be disastrous, and God will not be glorified. And that's all I have to say about that. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day, and we're grateful for our new birth. We're grateful for the opportunity to be seen in your Son at your right hand. We're grateful that that identification and that membership to your family in heaven supersedes anything that we have on this earth. And I would just ask that every believer might be testaments of that life that we have within us, and that your Son might be seen in order that people will know that we are not from this world, that we do belong to your family in heaven. And we just ask that each one of these believers might be able to take in this information, and that it would be something that helps them to grow in their individual lives. We're grateful for these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.